Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. Welcome back for our fourth and final episode in our Advent series. John 3:16 might not be the first verse you think of at Christmas time, but I'll explain why I opened with that verse shortly. First, before I begin, I need to share with you about our 2020 vision campaign. You may know Justice for Orphans launched Care Portal in two Capital Region counties here in upstate New York. In November of 2018, we started in Schenectady County. In October 2019, we launched in Albany County. So far, over 530 Capital Region children have been served by local churches using our Care Portal platform. JFO has a goal to launch Care Portal in at least one new Capital Region county in 2020. We're praying about which county is next. It might be Greene or Columbia County. We're waiting for God to open the door, but we need the funding to do it. You can help us help more local children and families in crisis with a $20 monthly gift, just 20 bucks. If 83 people committed to $20 per month, we could have enough to launch both Greene and Columbia counties. $20 a month is the equivalent of a $240 one-time gift, so maybe you're in a position to give all at once. But those small monthly gifts have a huge impact. So please pray and consider partnering with JFO. You can give safely and securely online at justicefororphansny.org. If you'd like to mail a check, you can find the address on our website as well. Thank you for considering. Okay, back to Advent. This is our fourth episode on Advent. If you've not listened to the first three in the series, I invite you to go back and check them out. Advent is a season of anticipating the arrival of Christ. It's a time to focus on hope, peace, joy, and love, which is found only in Christ. Our first three episodes focused on, the first one was hope, then we did peace, then joy, and now today we will talk about love. And I opened with John 3:16 because God loved and God gave. Christmas is a season of giving. No greater gift has ever been given. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. There is no worldly comparison to the most valuable gift ever given. I hope you have received your indescribable gift. Within this gift, in Christ, also comes the hope, peace, joy, and love we've been talking about in this podcast series. Another verse that mentions love is found in 1 John 4. I'll read actually two verses, 11 and 12, says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." So God so loved us that he gave Jesus. He wants us to love others. Then his gift is complete. He loved us. We love others. Others come to know God, the love of God, and others love others. The world would be a better place with a cycle of love spinning every day. God loved, God gave. Love involves action. Our next scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Now, I love how John 3:16, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, tells us, "For God so loved the world, he gave." And then in 1 John 3:16, it says what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. Then it tells us we ought to lay down our lives for others. How? By giving. God's love for us moved him to action. He gave Jesus. Now that we have the greatest gift of all, we have Jesus, we know love, we are charged with putting that love into action too. 1 John 3:16 tells us we know what love is. 1 John 3:17 and 18 tells us what to do with the love we've been given. Give it away. God's love in us moves us to action. If it doesn't, we need to go back to the Gospel of John 3:16 and make sure that we've accepted the free gift of Jesus, which is for everyone with no exceptions. You've heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. It's true, and it's what 1 John 3:17 through 18 is telling us, to lay down our lives for others by giving material possessions and meeting needs, giving our time and our money, our sacrifices we make that demonstrate God's love to others in need. When God's love is in us and we love him, we are compelled to love others. We can't not demonstrate love. God's love for me and my love for him in return moved me to adopt our children. Lots of sacrifice of time, money, and self being poured out there. Adoption and foster care are die to self living. It's putting God's love into action. It's not the only way, but adoption and foster care are among the greatest ways because they truly reflect the gospel. They model the gospel. But there are other ways that you can demonstrate love. How has God's love moved you to action? Well, James writes, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." That's in James 2:26. Our faith is on display when we express love to others through kind deeds. The recipient of our actions experiences God's love through our actions. And we're not just called to love the lovable. Jesus spells it out for us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45, when he says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Yep, love the unlovable. That's when we look like our Father in heaven the most. I encourage you this Advent week of love, demonstrate some love to someone who is hard to love. Love is a choice, not a warm, fuzzy feeling. Just like we must choose peace and we must choose joy, we must choose to love. Now, I know it's not easy, especially when it comes to those unlovable types. Let me share another adoption story with you. Often I have shared about adopting our children from Ukraine, which we did both in 2006 and 2010. But long before that, God set another child into our family. In 1999, our daughter Melissa came to live with us. She was 8. Her mom had died in 1996 when Missy was just 5. And the little girl had been living with her maternal grandmother with no father in the picture. We'd been reaching out to both grandmother and granddaughter. The grandmother was my great aunt Betty, my grandmother's sister. And Missy was like a third cousin or however that works. The more we reached out to help the two, the more time I spent with them, it became clear Missy was not in a good place. No one else in our extended family wanted to get involved. Aunt Betty had made a lot of enemies and burned a lot of bridges in her lifetime. But there was this little girl involved, and God's love compelled me to step into this messy situation. Aunt Betty ended up at one point in the hospital, and she left Missy with a non-relative family. I visited her while she was with this family, and she seemed happy and well taken care of. But I didn't understand why God would put her there and not in our family, but I trusted him and just sort of waited and watched what would happen. That family obtained custody of the little girl when Aunt Betty appeared to be on her deathbed. But somehow she rallied, got out of the hospital, and demanded the child be turned back over to her. The other family knew, and I knew, this just was not in the little girl's best interest. And the whole thing unraveled as the family and Aunt Betty fought back and forth with this little girl stuck in the middle. It culminated in family court, where a judge miraculously awarded me custody of the little girl. And I was only in court that day because Aunt Betty asked me to drive her there. But God had other plans. Now, Aunt Betty was not happy. In fact, she was so nasty. She lunged at her own lawyer in the courtroom, and she cursed me all the way home in the car, demanding that I bring Missy over to her house after she got home from school and bring all her belongings to her. It was crazy. Now, because of Aunt Betty's behavior, she had only been awarded supervised visits with the little girl. But eventually, she got unsupervised visits, then weekend overnights. But the whole time, she manipulated and verbally abused Missy and made our lives difficult. She dragged us back to family court for ridiculous reasons that only resulted in her losing visitation. Nearly every day for 3 years, I had to deal with this mean woman and the nasty ways she treated Melissa and me. But as I pressed into God for help and strength, he showed me a few things. First, Aunt Betty was a bitter woman for a reason. Back in the 1950s, her 16-year-old son had died in an accident right before Christmas. In the 1970s, her husband died of cancer. And in 1996, her daughter, her only other child, Missy's mom, Kathy, succumbed to cancer. I had compassion on this mean and angry woman because I could understand that her anger and her hatred was really a result of her pain. Her terrible losses drove her controlling, manipulating behavior. She really did love her granddaughter. She just couldn't express it in healthy ways. God made it clear to me that we were never to speak ill of Grandma to or in front of Missy, no matter what the woman was putting us through. I was careful to tell Missy that her grandmother loved her, but she was sick and just didn't know how to show it. Now, after dragging us into family court for the last time, which resulted in court-ordered psychological evaluations all around for my husband, myself, Missy, and Aunt Betty, who did not pass hers, which was no surprise to us. And right before Christmas, Aunt Betty ended up in the hospital. Now, with the Christmas season and all of that, I just felt some compassion. And I felt like the grandmother should have a visit from her granddaughter in the hospital. And I arranged for a friend of mine to bring Missy to the hospital for the visit with Aunt Betty. It was Christmas time after all. And I knew the last person the woman wanted to see was me, but I felt like she should see her granddaughter. Well, the visit went downhill. Aunt Betty's behavior toward Missy was so bad that my friend took Missy out of the room so fast they left their coats behind. After that, Aunt Betty took a turn for the worse, and 2 months later, she was moved to a rehab facility on a respirator. For 5 months, Missy and our family could breathe much easier without the constant daily stress of Aunt Betty's attacks. But by May, again, I felt like Missy should visit her grandmother. Well, my same friend took her down to the rehab facility, which was over an hour away from our house. And there they found Aunt Betty unrecognizable. Her bitterness and anger had destroyed her. And she died just weeks later. And this was back in 2002. Aunt Betty fits into the category of someone hard to love. But we are called to love anyway. I have no regrets about how I responded to her nastiness or how I handled the situation with Missy. God gave me the ability to not take it personally, to see Aunt Betty's pain as the enemy, not Aunt Betty herself. Still, it was hard. The woman drove this little white Dodge Neon car. Every time we would pass it on the road or she pulled into my driveway, my heart would literally jump. To this day, if I see a little white neon pass me on the road, and I don't think they make them anymore, thankfully, my heart still skips a beat, and I have to remember Aunt Betty has been gone since 2002. It was really that bad. Now, Romans 12, verses 9 through 21 falls under the heading of love in action in my Bible. I'm going to read these verses to you, so stick with me. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals, blessings, on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God overcame evil in this world when he sent Jesus, born in a manger in a lonely stable in Bethlehem. Love came down. We can overcome evil by demonstrating the love of God to others, our enemies, strangers, our neighbors, our relatives and coworkers, even the ones that are hard to love, and of course our friends. Bless them, rejoice with them, mourn with them, feed them, give yourself away to them. There is enough evil, trouble, anger, and negativity in the world today. Just turn on the news, or maybe don't turn on the news, because it might get worse as we walk into 2020. But as God's children, we've been assigned the task to love one another. We don't have to like everyone or agree with everyone, but we do have to love them. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." You see, God has lavished us with his love by adopting us into his family through Christ. I understand this more clearly as an adoptive parent than I ever did before. The things we take for granted are often lavish gifts to others who are in need. When we adopted our children from Ukraine and brought them home in January of 2007, just a few months later in April, our son Andre turned 10. Now, I know double digits are a big deal to kids, but I also knew Andre had never had a birthday cake or a birthday party or presents before. He never was surrounded by a loving family singing him, "Happy Birthday to You." So we went all out for this kid's birthday. We lavished him with a big family party, a huge cake, gifts, balloons. We sang and celebrated and made sure he experienced love as our treasured, precious son. At Christmas, we love to give gifts to our children. Or maybe like me, you have grandchildren. It brings me such joy to see the wonder and excitement on my grandchildren's faces as they anticipate Christmas, as they open their gifts. Now, God gives good gifts to his children. We are his children. He gives good gifts to us. Just as we lavished Andre on his birthday and we lavish gifts on our children and grandchildren at Christmas time, even more so, God went to great lengths to give us the greatest gift of all, Jesus. He made us his children. Our identity is in Christ. We are sons and daughters of God. What a gift. Romans 8:14 through 17 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry out, Abba, Father." That's like saying daddy. It's intimate. It's precious. "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." God sent Jesus, whose birth we are about to celebrate on Christmas, into this broken world to adopt us and make us his children. That is lavish love. And as God's children, we must be about the family business, so to speak, and the family business is love. How will you lavish love on someone this week? May I make a few suggestions? Look for a single mom to bless, an elderly person or a widow, a family struggling with illness, a foster or adoptive family, anyone God puts on your heart, and demonstrate some lavish love through gifts of money or your time. Bring a meal. It is incredible the impact a home-cooked meal delivered to a family can have. Give a gift card to a restaurant. Give gift cards or cards for groceries. Gas and groceries are huge blessings to a struggling family. A gift card to Walmart where you can buy groceries and other essentials. A fruit basket. Offer to babysit so a single mom can shop, wrap presents, or just rest. Spend time with someone. Visit them. Share hospitality. Invite them over to your house. Add them to your prayer list. These suggestions are not just for Christmas time, but all year long. And as you give, you will be blessed. I pray in 2020, you will take the time to sit in God's presence. There you will experience joy, peace, hope, and love. You will be filled up to pour out hope, peace, joy, and love to others. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and thank you for taking the time out of your busy holiday schedule to listen today. I hope you enjoyed this 4-episode podcast series on Advent. Again, I'm Sandra Flack. If you enjoyed some of my adoption stories, you'll be able to read more of the whole story in my new book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. It will be available mid-2020, so stay tuned for details on that. And remember our 2020 vision campaign. You can help us launch Care Portal in the next 2 Capital Region counties with a $20 monthly gift or a one-time $240 gift. Give safely and securely on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Click on Donate and then click on the button that says 2020 Vision. And you can find and follow more episodes of this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, or again, right on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.